We'll talk about God's timing in our lives. Some of us are not as young as we used to be. In fact, that goes for everyone, doesn't it? But we look back at our lives, and hopefully we'll be able to look forward, if God so sees fit to let us live a few more days, a few more years, whatever. And we'll notice that everything, God's timing in our life, it's His timing. Oh, of course, we get out of time sometimes. I'm not much of a mechanic, but I've heard about those mechanics that kind of the eight cylinders got a little out of time. Well, we sometimes want to run on six or seven cylinders, and we get out of time. But God's timing overwhelms, gets us a good tune-up job. So let's look at the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, and let's notice God's timing in our life. And while you're turning, Miss Evelyn Burns brought some decision magazines back there. They're on that middle table next to the window. And those are Voter's Guide for Religious Liberty and Freedom, if you will take those, have the opportunity of doing so. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, of course, the writer of this particular Psalms, the third, or the Ecclesiastes, not the Psalms, in the third chapter. Says, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the sun. And of course, that time is God's time. I want to examine that in the life of Jacob this morning, because Jacob was a surplanner, did a lot of things out of the will of God, but God kept getting him back in tune, back in time. But before we do that, Solomon lists 14 different things in the next few verses. And this is pretty inclusive. It covers almost everything. And notice what he says in the second verse. A time to be born. A time to die. A time to plant. And a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill. A time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. Knows he gives us a thought and then a contradiction or an opposing view. Of course we're born. We're born to die. So there's a time, God's time, when we were born, and it will be his time when we die. Continuing, verse 4, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. If we live very long lives and productive lives, perhaps most of those that he mentioned, those 14 things, will come into play in their life. Certainly was with the case of Jacob. Jacob, not much unlike many of us, he was born, he had the family. And Isaac, his father, and Rebekah, his mother, I think they may be my favorite patriarchs. A lot of people say Abraham was, and that would be good. But Isaac, a type of Christ. And Rebekah, a type of the bride. And then they had twins, remember? Jacob and Esau. And from the very start, even before birth, there was a struggle. Seems like when we're born, you may not remember that, and obviously we don't, but God does. Your parents surely do. And they could probably tell us that were born of that father and mother a lot of stories about the struggles we had as little babies, little infants. That struggle began with Jacob and Esau in the womb. And we remember as Esau was coming out first, it was Jacob that reached and got his foot. The struggle. And then we see Jacob as he gets older, he was his mother's favorite son. And then, of course, Esau was the father's favorite son. Both of them had characteristics which mom and dad loved. Not always unusual either. it shouldn't be that way, but that's life, perhaps. And even though parents try not to let that happen, I remember what Brother Tom Gillum said. I think he had three sons. And he said, people say, we love all of our children the same, and we do. But he said, let me ask you a question. If you got four or five kids, is there not one you'd trust a little bit more if you got senile and something happened to? He said, now come on, you may not call it a favorite, but there are differences in all of our children, are they not? So Jacob was one now that he had deceived his brother. He wanted that birthright. Birthright to Esau did not mean anything. But if Jacob had just what we want to see, first of all, that sometimes we want something and we don't trust God to give it to us. God was going to give him the birthright anyway. It was his plan. The Bible says, God said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And don't think for a minute that God did wrong in thinking like that. God can't do any wrong. God was able to look ahead of time and see all the good that Jacob was going to be able to do. He also was able to look ahead and saw all the evil that Esau was going to do. So God, knowing the future, hated the life Esau was going to live. And you love the fact that Jacob is one I can trust, and when he gets out of time, I can get him back in with no problem. Such may be the case with you and I. We were chosen by God. He saved us. He secured us. He set us on a journey toward heaven. And we'll see later on that, that Isaac lived 180 years. That's a long time. And God knew every moment of his life all the way through. And Jacob now was one of those servants that got out of the will of God. And when he got out of the will of God, he had to leave father and mother. Why? Because Jacob was one that had deceived his brother. Esau was surely going to kill him because of that. And when his father, Isaac, found out about it, he was not very pleased either. So there are things in our life that we can do that messes up the whole future. Talk about being out of God's time and out of God's will. We have a young son, just a little bit younger than his brother, that was the twin, that the mother persuaded him to go out and dress up and put on that sheepskin on his arms because Esau was a hairy man and deceive his brother. And parents can do that sometimes, get children, coax them into doing something to get them out of the will of God. But if you belong to him, he can get us back. We see that journey that Jacob was taking as he was journeying, trying to go back to the place where they came from and back to their people. As he was going, the sun set, and there he laid his head on a pillow. It wasn't a comfortable pillow like you and I probably have on our beds. It was a rock. The Bible calls it a stone. And next morning when he got up, remember God had visited him in that place, trying to get him to understand. And then when God visited him, he realized that the Lord God had saw him, and he changed the name of that place. It was called Luz to start with, which means separation, but there he changed it to Bethel, the house of God. And he made a vow with God. And sometimes when we get out of the will of God and we think we've messed our life up, we've done things, and that was an awful thing to deceive your father and deceive your brother and try to steal the birthright. That was an awful thing. But God forgives, and even in that, God saw that just a little correction. And there that night in that visitation, Jacob got his heart back right with God. Did it undo the evil he had done? No. But God forgives. And God gives us a second chance. And now as he is traveling on, remember he got there to that land and he saw the most beautiful damsel that he had ever could imagine seeing. It was Rachel. And as she was coming, he knew that was going to be the bride. We don't have time to deal with all the details. But then he asked for the bride with the father Laban, and Laban promised it. with a certain amount of labor, years of labor, and then on the wedding night, it wasn't her at all. It wasn't Rachel. It was the sister Leah. And then he was hooked for those 7 years. But then he had another opportunity. So we see now God's will and his way will be performed in their life. So the children have come, and many children are coming now to Jacob, not only by Leah and by Rachel, but by their concubines. Just talk about getting out of the will of God. He was out of the will of God. But remember, God chose him. And when you get out, this is an encouraging message to every one of us. It does not give us the opportunity to say, well, I'll go out and sin, God will get me back. No. There's consequences to pay, as we'll see. But I want to look at three things this morning. And first of all, I want to look at the leaving. As he was ministering and as he was working for Laban, the father-in-law, and as the children were being born, Laban was deceitful himself. The old saying, what goes around comes around. He deceived his brother, he deceived his father, and now Laban, his father-in-law, is deceiving him. Be sure thy sins will find you out. Doesn't give us a license to sin, but God's still on the throne. God's still going to give him the perfect timing. So God's looking down on the scene, and we take up the story in Genesis chapter 32. God is telling him now, I want you to leave Laban. I have been observing. You're my servant. And although you've got out my will, you're still mine. I'll get you back where I want you to be. I want you to pick up your family, your wives, your concubines, your children, and leave Laban. And that was a hard decision to make. Actually, it wasn't a decision whatsoever. God told him to do it. But remember, since he had sowed a lot of bad seed, there's going to be a lot of things in his life happen. You say, oh, I thought God forgave. Oh, he will. The forgiveness, it gets you back in relationship with God. If you're saved, you're eternally saved. But when you get out of the will of God, there is that communion factor. And you need to talk to God. He surely will talk to you when you get your heart right. And now Jacob was seeing that God does speak to me. He did say, go back. Go back. What did he tell him to go back to? Go back to that place that I met you there. It's Luz, but you changed your name to Bethel at my request. You go back there. And a lot of times when we go where we should not go, when we do that which we should not do, and we say, okay, God visits with us and gives us another opportunity and says, Jacob, go back. Go back to where? The beginning. The place where I saved you, the place where I secured you. Go back in your mind. You say, I can't go back literally to that place. Well, go back in your mind to the place. And now Jacob is headed back with his family. But it hasn't gotten very far to Laban, the father-in-law, sees he's gone. He takes that after him with the rest of the family. And there they have communion, and they make a new covenant. And when God has ordained something, Laban's not going to stop it because God already said, Jacob, go back to Bethel. And remember, Laban's a very evil person. He's not done right by Jacob or his family. And Satan tries to tempt and discourage and keep us from going back to where God told us to go back to. So Laban takes after him. But it's already a done deal. God says go, and he's going. God will do what he needs to do to get us to where he wants us to be. Remember, we saw in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it's God's timing. And all these events happen to us, time to be born, a time to die, a time to weep, a time to mourn, all these things, a lot of them are because of our own doings and their own miscalculations. But now in the 32nd chapter of the book of Genesis, and Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And Jacob saw them. He said, this is God's host. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Remember, when God sends you somewhere, he'll be there before you get there. He sent a host of angels to watch over him and guide him, his wives and his children. And when God tells you to go somewhere, he'll be there before you. And there he saw them. He will, you may not visibly see those angels, but nonetheless, they will be there, God's guardian angels, protecting us when we're going where God wants us to go, back in their minds, back to the place of the beginning when we first got saved and we made that promise to God. And God had made a promise with him too. And Jacob had said, remember it loves. He said, God, if you'll give me bread to eat, raiment to wear, and health, I'll serve you and you'll be my God. That's a covenant. When you came to Christ and you got saved, there was a covenant made. You said, God, if you'll save me, secure me, then I'll live for you. God won't forget that. You may get out of place and out of God's picture, but he will be there overshadowing, overlooking. Now he says, go back to Bethel. He's back at Bethel, and the host of God's host is there looking after him. Well, he realizes something else is going to happen. I'm back at Bethel. I'm back in the land of my brothers. A lot of years have passed, but Esau hasn't forgotten. So he sends some people, messengers, over to Esau and says, I'm back. Want to get things right. You see, when you leave the things that you used to do and you want to cleave into the things that God wants you to do, there's some things in your mind, I did my brother wrong. And I don't have peace with God and relationship with God that I need until I make that right. There is that looking for the peace in your life. So he sent messengers. Now, he was worried about it, and he was looking for God's help again. Let's read this verses down in verse 8 of that same chapter. Verse 6, rather. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. Can you imagine the worry? I sold my brother's birthright, I deceived him, and I lied, and I've been gone. And God told me to come back, and now he's coming after me with 400 men. I've just got a few sons and a few servants. I need God's help. God will bring us to the place a lot of time when there is nothing else to do except get on our knees. He's in the right place. He's at the house of God at Bethel. And now he's seeking God. He's looking for God. And rest assured, when you're looking for God, he can be found. The verse of scripture in verse 8, and Esau came to the one company and smite it, then the other, which is left, shall escape. Jacob had it all planned out. I'll separate my family, and if he gets part of us, he won't get us all. But he's still trying to plan his own life. Remember, the timing is God's. God's got his host there, but yet Jacob, like you, like me so many times, we know God's direction, but we want to help him out. God doesn't need any help. We just listen to his voice. So he's got all arranged, I'll send this family here and that family there. And those 400 men, they won't kill us all, perhaps. But he still needs God, the peace that he alone can have with God, if God will only show up once again. Verse 9. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saith unto me, return unto thy company and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. Then he says, verse 11, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And so he lodged there that night. He had sought God. He had listened to God. God's got him back in tune, back in time. He is headed back to ask forgiveness. He's headed back to the house of God where he made a covenant with God. And now he has asked the God of heaven to help him, to cast out the fear. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And he's getting wisdom because he knows that only God can help him. And as he's going to sleep that night, remember the angel comes and wrestles with him to daybreak. And Jacob says, I will not turn thee loose until thou bless me. He blessed him okay, but at the same time, remember, he got his joints out. And he changed his name that night from Jacob to Israel. Jacob, surplanter. That one that's, and when God saves you, he changes your character. He changes the way you used to think. There's no more deception in him. He changed his name to Israel, the beginning of a new religion, not religion, but a new covenant with God that I'm going to produce from you and your seed a great blessing to all the world. So now he is leaving the problems he left behind and trusting God once again. And now is his brother Esau is coming. God changed his heart. They meet and they greet and they have full forgiveness. And Jacob is trying to repay him monetarily, give him all the different things that he needs, trying to pay up. Hey, God's already paid all the price. All we have to do is ask forgiveness. I know we do wrong so many times, but there's no payment that can be made. Christ has already shed the blood one time for all time. All the sins. He just wants you and I to confess our sins. He wants you and I to love him and to put him first in their life. In the 23rd verse of this same chapter, and he took them and sent them over the brook. And sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him to the break of day. He had asked for God's help. Sometimes when God, most of the time when God helps us, it won't be the kind of help we thought. He figured he'd just go out there and maybe even have to slay Esau or change his mind. But God wanted to do more than get Esau straightened out. He wanted to get Jacob straightened out. A lot of times we come to God and it says, God, the enemy's out there and fix that situation. God's really let all this happen with his perfect timing to get you and I where we need to be. And so before the night was over, he got Jacob in the right frame of mind where Jacob needed to be. He changed his mind. He changed his character. He changed his attitude about everything. And then in the 34th chapter, we see that now he's got problems with his children. Oh, that's another thing in life, is it not? Children don't always act like you want them to act. Don't always do. Oh, but remember one time we were a child. I wonder what mom and dad would have said about the way we acted. So now some brothers got in trouble with the citizens of the country because they went out and did some awful, hurtful things. And when you do that, what are you going to do? As a father, as a mother, there's only one help. There's nothing you can do to make kids walk perfectly right, but God can. And during the time of it and during the course of it, all we have to do is find the meeting place with God. Oh, I know where that'll be. I bet God will say, go back to Bethel, because that is the beginning. Let's look at the next chapter and look at verse 14 and this particular chapter is 35. He's back at Bethel. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of that place where God spake with him, Bethel. God has set a place, and I've mentioned hundreds of times from this pulpit and others, that God establishes a place in their life. You may have got saved under an oak tree. You may have got saved by the fireplace in your home. Wherever you got saved, God has a meeting place for you and I. And he told Paul to tell us, fail not to assemble yourselves in the manner some have. And so God's meeting place with us, I mean, you can meet him anywhere you want to, but God's meeting place, whether we worship together, is the house of God. And now he's going back to the house of God. It's interesting. Hundreds of times in the Word of God, he go back to the place to begin. Go back and worship me. So he's going back to Bethel. Oh, but before he has to get things right with God, there's some other things that has to be removed. You see, along the journey of life, people tend to collect baggage. They tend to collect idols and other things that's more important to them than God. But if you're going to have a relationship with God and you're going to leave the world behind and you want God to be there every time you get in trouble and you really want to be there when your children get in trouble, and you really wanting to be there when you got sickness and the stress all the time, then you have to be willing to empty yourself of all the things that's not Christ-like. And then God will meet you. So he goes back, and look what he says in the 9th verse. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan-Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called anymore Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply, a nation and a company of nations shall come out of thee, and kings shall come of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him, back at the house of God. But remember, he had to take all his idols and all the idols of his children, and he took them and buried them. And there's nowhere in the Word of God that he ever went back and dug them up. See, a lot of times when we need God, and when our timing is our timing, but it's not God's timing, and God, we weep, we mourn, we're sick, and we laugh, and we dance, and all these things, but then God getting real serious with us. If you really want to serve me and have my blessings, you have to remove those things that's not Christ-like and leave them behind. And we'll plead with God. We'll say, God, if you'll do this, then I'll leave that behind. I remember listening to the news just recently. You probably saw it too on one channel. They interviewed someone down in Florida that had stayed in a mobile home during the hurricane. And in a mobile home, and there he said he spent an hour and a half in the bathtub, him and his two dogs. And he said, I made a deal with God during that time. And I'm sure that if you and I had been in that situation as others were, you had done some pleading. You'd have brought back all your past because you didn't know most people lost everything. And he survived, him and his two dogs. But during that time with the mobile home shaking and he was afraid it was going to disappear and him too, he got alone with God. God will bring us to the place, whether it's a hurricane or a family situation, whatever he needs to do, he can do it to get us to the place. And he said, I made a deal with God. That's good. That's a covenant. It's scriptural. I don't know what his deal was, but I know what Jacob was many times. God, if you'll do this for me, I'll serve you. And God said to him, well, you've got some things and your children's got some idols that's not Christ-like. You have to bury them. And you have to leave them buried. You have to be willing to forsake them. Whatever yours is, whatever mine is, that you put more emphasis in, that you love more, that you cherish more, that you do more than the Lord God, if you really want God to show up and take care of your children and your children's children, and we do, and our nation, you have to come to the place where God wants us to come. You have to leave the world behind. Would you do all that? Yes. And during the time of it, other things will happen. In the same course of time, the love of his life, the one that he met there at the well, Rachel, she was going to give childbirth, and then she died. And that young boy was the 12th boy that was born from the loins of Jacob. And he called his name Benjamin, son of thy right hand. Will trouble come during the time of our life? Absolutely. I don't know what portion of the trouble comes because we get out of the will of God, now the timing of God. That's God's deal, and he'll take care of it. But I'm sure, as in Jacob, we know many problems, even problems his children had, no doubt, was because of his surplanning and deception early on. But God got him back in tune. Caused a lot of problems, caused a lot of fellowship, caused a lot of blessings. But God will correct us, everyone. And the best thing for you and I to do is be willing to do as Jacob did. Listen to God. When he said, leave Laban and leave this country that doesn't worship God and go back to my land, back and worship the Lord God. He was willing to do that. And then his children got in tune. And God will get his way with their lives. Now, if he had been rebellious, there's no telling what God would have done. But I'll assure you, God would have got him back. If God wants you to do something and go somewhere and act in a particular way, he's got the ability to rearrange your life and mine. And remember, as Ecclesiastes taught us, it's God's timing. For every purpose under the sun, that means every individual, it's his will that none should perish. But many will perish. Why? Because they won't listen to what God said. God will have the last word. Would you stand this morning? Your head's bowed. Yes, you have a song. You and the group. Your head's bowed. Perhaps God's spoken to your heart this morning. You look back at your life and you look like right now that things aren't going as well as you hoped they would go. Could it be that God's timing in your life, you've not been there to listen to him, you've not done what you ought to do, should have done. Or maybe you just want to make a covenant with him this morning. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In the future, we'll listen to you. We'll go where you say go. We'll do what you tell us to do. Because we're living according to your timing. You're arranging. You're the one that's causing things to happen. And God is perfect. He'll do right. But the question is, are we willing to submit ourselves to him? Your head's bowed as they sing.